How about how Romano looked? Like, that's the storyline coming out of that intra-squad game, too, I think. And you were there calling the game. How did Romano look? I said to George off the top, I like to get ahead of myself, but a Romano, Giles, Ward, Hanky 2.0 with that nasty stuff Romano has. It's a reach, but how did he look?
Yeah, it's definitely a reach. That's for sure. Romano was outstanding last night. I mean, it's three hitters. It was 14 pitches, but he looked as good as he's been looking the entire year. You know, all the way going back to Florida for spring training 1.0 or whatever you want to call it. He's been just nasty and overwhelming. And, you know, you could see just the look on Bo Bichette's face when he was taking these 98-mile-an-hour heaters that Romano was firing in there. He was outstanding. Now, remember that, you know, he looked like this in June as well last year for his first few outings, and he still wound up with an ERA over 7. So it's important to not get too far ahead of yourself. But he's certainly capable of being an outstanding late-inning reliever. And hopefully, you know, he stays healthy and he can keep this up, and if he does, he fits in really, really nicely with Rafael Dolis and Anthony Bass and building the bridge to Giles.
Mike, is it as simple as saying that if the Blue Jays are in it before the August 31st trade deadline, they're keeping Ken Giles just to have this run and maybe get to the wild card, or does it just make better baseball sense to trade him and get something for him?
Maybe in a 162-game season it does, but, I mean, who knows, right? If you're in it on August 31st in a 60-game sprint, yeah, you got to try to load up. And I don't know that they'll do that, but I think that at the very least you'll hold on to Giles. Look, you got to remember, too, that being a pending free agent now is not like being a pending free agent has been in any other year, right? This winter, you can see a lot of the teams saying, hey, you know, we don't have any money. We didn't have any fans come to games. We lost all this potential revenue. So we're not going to be spending on the free agent market. I don't think it's going to be like collusion was. Mookie Betts is still going to get his money. Francisco Lindor is still going to get his money. But I'm not sure that Ken Giles is the world they're going to cash in. And Ken Giles is an elite closer. I think, you know, the best thing for most of the non-Mookie Betts free agents this winter might be to take that one-year deal from the team that they're on and try to rebuild, well, try to continue to build value while the sport rebuilds its revenue base and then cash in the next year. Ken Giles really likes it here, and the Blue Jays appear to really like him. I think this off season, it's far less of a worry that he would leave for big bucks than any other off season.
Well, and Mike, for the Jays, that can be your own rental, right? That can be, if you're in it, you can use your own pending free agent as your own rental. You get it for free instead of going out. And if you're in it, you want that elite shutdown potential closer. So it wouldn't make sense to. Now, if they're out of it and you like how the depth in the bullpen, I guess, has worked going forward, maybe. But overall, it just looks like the depth, we talk so much about the starting pitching, but when you throw in Romano and just the extra pieces, that bullpen depth to get you through, how are you liking that visual so far at this point, as far as the bullpen depth?
You know, I've liked this bullpen since March. I think that with Dolis and Bass, I mean, I know most people haven't heard of these people, but Rafael Dolis was over in Japan closing and saving 30 games the last 3 years. Anthony Bass last year I know he's like 34, but he had like a breakout year last year in Seattle. He had a whip of one. He was striking out a batter per inning. He was tremendous. He throws hard. Dolis throws hard. You've got, again, not a sexy name, but Sam Gavilio. If you look at Sam Gavilio's numbers over the last 2 years, first time through the lineup, teams hit like 220 against him. So if you use him properly, then he's a super effective weapon. And then we saw last night as well, A.J. Cole, Justin Miller, guys like that who throw really hard. Who, you know, Miller's really tough for a right-hander to pick up. Cole has had success in the big leagues before, so has Miller. There are a bunch of these guys. And, you know, with a bigger pitching staff, at least through the first 2-4 weeks of this shortened season, there are a lot of different guys you can go to and a lot of, you know, you can play the hot hand. I think this is going to be a solid bullpen, and I think it's going to be a solid rotation as well. Now, again, it's 60 games. It's going to be tough to be out of it after 30 for anybody. And it's also possible that you just hit a nice little 3-week run and that can just make your season for you.
Yeah. Mike, Anthony Kay allowed 3 runs in 4 innings last night, took one in the back. What does Anthony Kay, what do you anticipate his role is for the Blue Jays this season if the pitching staff is healthy? Clearly there's an injury to Chase Anderson, but what do you think Anthony Kay's role is potentially in this shortened season?
He might wind up starting the year as the fifth starter. There seems to be like a little bit of buzz happening now that he's ahead of Ryan Barucki for that fifth spot, and depending on what they want to do with Nate Pearson. I think we all want Nate Pearson in the rotation, and I hope Nate Pearson does wind up being in the rotation. But there is a chance that Kay breaks as the fifth starter. And, yeah, he gave up 3 runs in 4 innings last night, but he gave up all of them in that fourth inning after he, you know, started to tire a little bit. It's his second outing of summer camp, so nobody's really stretched out with the exception of Matt Shoemaker and Hyunjin Ryu. So he looked really, really good over those first 3 innings and then started to flag a little bit and gave up that home run in the fourth inning. But he's a guy who has a chance to be a mid-to-bottom rotation starter in a major league rotation. He's a lefty who's very bulldoggy. He doesn't mess around. He throws strikes. He goes after hitters. He's aggressive. He's not an all-star or anything like that, but I think he's going to be a very capable big league pitcher. And the Blue Jays have the luxury of not really needing him to be a capable big league pitcher just yet, because if everything falls the way they want it to, he's, you know, not one of your top 10, 11, 12 pitchers. When we were talking about building a roster in the first spring training, when we thought it was going to be just 26 and 13 pitchers, Anthony Kay wasn't on it, assuming most guys were healthy. Now with Chase Anderson's injury and with the fact they may start with like 17 pitchers for the first 2 weeks, that definitely opens up a spot, and I think he's in there, but I don't think he's a prominent guy in this pitching staff just yet. But he's, again, got a chance to be a solid mid to bottom rotation starter.
In conversation with Mike Wilner, Blue Jays radio play-by-play man on Twitter at Wilnerness590. Now, Mike, I understand Nate Pearson's supposed to go tonight, so we're going to have the re-hyping up of Pearson and all that. Outside of just seeing him play well overall, is there anything you're going to particularly watch for from his earlier work, something you think he might need to improve on, or what should Jays fans be watching for Pearson?
Well, I mean, I've seen him pitch, I think, 5 times so far, and I've never seen him give up a hit. So I don't know that there's much that I can ask for him to improve on. like if you were trying to build a pitcher in a lab, this is what you would build. Nate Pearson, really, the hype is justified. He is that good. I don't know that he's going to step in the major leagues and not give up a hit. I have a feeling that he's going to and give up some runs. He did give up a run on two hits in his last spring training outing down in Florida, but I wasn't there because that was a split squad game. So, again, I've never seen him give up a hit. But today is only live batting practice. It's not an intra-squad game. So there's less competitive juice flowing or anything like that. Look, all he needs to do is just keep doing what he's doing. Keep throwing strikes, keep blowing hitters away, keep keeping guys off balance with the secondary stuff. He is going to be very, very, very good.
Mike, I've asked this to a lot of Blue Jays, or a lot of our Blue Jays guests. Isn't it damn refreshing that the Jays have a prospect where he comes up but he's not fooling guys with junk? Instead, he can just throw that absolute crazy heat from the mound.
It's great that there's a whole big whack of them. I was talking about this with Kevin Barker on the air last night about, mostly about the bullpen, but he was rhyming off these five or six guys who throw 95 plus out of the bullpen, which is something that, they haven't had in a long time. Pearson is, not 95 plus, he's 99 plus. The ability to do that as a starter, it's incredible. And it's just part of this pipeline that just keeps moving with these waves of prospects that Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro were talking about a lot last year. And Pearson is sort of the end of this first group, but there's another one behind him that Thomas Hatch might be at the head of. But he's, Nate Pearson is a truly special prospect. He's the top right-handed pitching prospect in all of baseball. He throws fire. He's not trying to fool anybody. He's just trying to blow you away, and he's succeeding.
Yeah, here it is. Try to catch it. In conversation with Mike Wilder, talking Blue Jays. Mike, now Austin Martin. George and I have talked about it. Everyone's been talking about it. It's so exciting to get this prospect where he fell. But I thought it was a little bit of maybe a reality check for those wanting to rush him in the lineup and get in. Charlie Montoyo had said, look, we're not going to rush him. And when I read this really put it in perspective for me, Mike. He only played 16 games earlier this season with Vanderbilt. And his entire college career over 3 years has about the equivalent plate appearances of one full MLB season. So I guess we'd like to see him maybe in an exhibition or intra-squad game for a little bit, but it seems like they're really going to take their time with this guy.
As well they should. I know that the people are getting hyped up and getting excited and all that, and I've tried not to be too much of a wet blanket, but there's no chance this guy plays in the major leagues this year. And there's no chance that Jordan Groshans plays in the major leagues this year either. We want to see him, and I hope we do. I hope he gets into a game, maybe one of the exhibition games. Maybe they take him to Fenway for one of those two preseason games next week. But he hasn't done a thing since whenever they shut down the Vanderbilt season back in March when everything else got shut down. And Groshans has, 90 plate appearances above rookie ball, and Martin's got zero in professional baseball. So, baseball, it takes a long time to develop a prospect, and Martin's got a chance to really beat the typical calendar because he's so good. But again, if he's in the major leagues by September of 2021, assuming that this season goes off relatively hitch-free, and then next season is a normal major league season. If he's in the big leagues by September of 2021, it's close to a miracle. So, you know, it's exciting to have him. I'm really excited to see him and to watch his progress as he builds through the system. But it's going to take a long time for Austin Martin to be ready to play in the major leagues.
Mike, are the Blue Jays going to be playing their home games at Rogers Center this year? It feels like we're getting really close to the major league season. Oh, wait, it's next week. We still don't know where they're playing. And if they don't play at Rogers Center, is that a big-time disadvantage for this team?
I have no idea whether or not they're going to play their home games at Rogers Center. And I'm not sure anybody does. It sort of feels like, you know, the way things are not progressing, or the way we're not hearing anything, it just sort of feels like they're not. But I don't know that means anything at all. As far as I know, there could be an announcement today that says they will, but there could be an announcement today just as much that says there won't. That said, I'm not expecting any announcement today. This is just me completely pulling stuff out of thin air. They have 2 weeks until the first home game. No idea where it's going to be. Like zero idea where it's going to be. And as far as advantage or disadvantage, I mean, I guess it's always an advantage to be at your home ballpark. Though, you know, yesterday we did see Lourdes Gurriel misplay a flare by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. by getting too close and having it hit the turf and bounce over his head, which is something that should never happen to a home team player. And that's one of those home field advantages you would think you would have at Rogers Center, that other teams might screw that stuff up, but you won't. But I think you balance the advantage of being in your home ballpark with potentially the advantage, if they're not here, of not being stuck in the footprint for the entire season. And maybe if guys have a little more freedom and they can go out and go for a walk and they can go pick up dinner at some restaurant safely, take out wearing a mask, that they, you know, might be a little more comfortable and a little looser. Who knows? I know that the Blue Jays would prefer to be here. I know that, you know, Trent Thornton, we heard say the other day, hey, look, we're the Toronto Blue Jays. We're not the Dunedin Blue Jays. We're not the Buffalo Blue Jays. We're the Toronto Blue Jays. We want to be in Toronto. They want to be here. But honestly, no clue whether they will be or not.
Mike, I asked Barker this question yesterday. I'll ask it to you. How many wins do you think it'll take to get to the wild card?
That's a really good question. 33, 34, maybe. I mean, there might be a couple of teams that go on crazy runs over 60 games and win 40, which is incredibly unlikely over 162 to win two-thirds of your games, but it's far less unlikely over 60. But I don't think a bunch of teams are going to do that. I think mostly teams will be, the decent teams will be around 500, and a chance to get hot again to make your season with like a 16-3 run over 3 weeks and a chance that even a good team's going to go like 8-13 and really have a hole to dig out of. But I think 33 or 34 gets you a wild card, maybe even less. What Barker
good
say?
Stuff, Mike.
Barker was around that number too. He said around 34 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good, fair. I think you go 35-25. That's a good 60 game run, and that translates to a pretty nice season. So, yeah, and I think the thing is, I think everybody's capable of doing that. Like, no matter how good or bad you are, everybody's capable of having a 60-game run like that, which is going to make things super interesting.